From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kassel, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you all. So let's face it, things are not looking good. Our nation is in crisis, our future uncertain. You know what would help? Not sane, responsible leaders, what are you, nuts? But a sensitive, talented singer-songwriter to put our feelings about this mess into a catchy song. Well, we've got one. Roseanne Cash will be joining us later to play Not My Job. Yes, we're excited about that. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Carl. This is Jen Brown from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, how are things in Denver?
They're hot.
They're hot. Yes, everything's baking. What do you do there?
I am a public health veterinarian.
Really? So you're out there chasing down the rabid dogs and such?
Well, yes, pretty close. Bats and skunks are actually the animals that carry rabies here in Colorado, so we try to keep people safe.
Wait a minute, you said it's bats and skunks?
Yes.
Are there a lot of people just adopting those animals and bringing them home?
Oh, he's so cute.
Yes.
His foam is like a little white beard. Look at that. Adorable. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Jen. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's the man behind the world-famous podcast, Too Beautiful to Live, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hey, Jen.
Next, it's a deputy editor and blogger for the Houston Chronicle. Ms. Kiri O'Connor is here.
Hi, Jen.
Lastly, it's a humorist and the author of the new book, Alphabetter Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
Jen, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time, of course. Carl will start us off with three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, and Carl will record a greeting on your answering machine or voicemail or what have you. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Here is your first quote.
Put on your helmet, buckle your strap, run onto the field, and beat the bleep out of them.
That was Republican Congressman Mike Kelly summing up his party's attitude of compromise and common purpose. As what crisis continued this week?
The debt ceiling crisis.
Indeed, raising the debt ceiling. I mean this sincerely. It is an exciting time to be alive. How often do you get to witness history? It's once in a generation when a generation ruins everything for the next generation. Someday you'll say to your grandkids, yes, I was there when the United States defaulted. Now, don't Bogart that last can of dog food, Sonny.
I think, you know, that we'll probably celebrate this week every year as National Stupid Week.
Really?
Well, don't you just wish these people had mothers?
I assume you believe they had mothers at one point. They're just simply...
I'm not entirely sure, but I think someone should send them to their room with no electronics.
I think so.
I don't know how you get, you know, John Boehner trying to get votes from the Tea Party guys. If all they believe in is cutting, what do you, you know, you can't give them fat. You can't give them pork. The only way I can figure is you go to a Tea Party guy and say, do you have a particular program we could cut out that would hurt someone you hate?
It wasn't going to be like this. Do you remember this just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
President Obama and Speaker Boehner, they were putting together this grand bargain. They were working late into the night. They were playing golf. They were sending messages to each other at their press conferences. Boehner would make a little O with his fingers and tap his heart, you know? But then Eric Cantor, who's sort of the leader of the Tea Party wing in the House, started hanging around and whispering things to Boehner. He pulled Boehner away from Obama and the deal. Cantor is the Yoko Ono of American politics. Right? We understand he had his priorities, but did he and Boehner have to do that press conference in bed? That was... You're lucky I didn't mention their photo shoot with Annie Leibovitz. You don't want to see that.
Troubling.
And it was amazing how much the Democrats conceded. Senator Harry Reid put forward a bill that was all spending cuts, no tax hikes, and they promised to always be available to drive any Republican to the airport and to help them move.
It is... Honestly, though, for the first time in maybe years, I'm not just going quickly past C-SPAN to try to get to ESPN4.
Right.
So there's that.
Right.
You
it's
know
exciting.
What I mean? It's kind of, you never know what's going to happen in the well of the Senate right now.
All right, Jen, here is your next quote.
You can thank the fat police. Sorry, Mira McCheese.
That was the reaction from Fox News host Steve Doocy to the news that what franchise would be serving healthier meals?
McDonald's.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, if the next time you buy your kids a Happy Meal, they scream, Mommy, my McNuggets are cold and naked, just soothe them and say, have no fear, those are called apples. This is the big change. This is the monumental change McDonald's has done. You buy a Happy Meal for your kid, and instead of French fries, your meal comes with both French fries and apple slices. Ooh. Which, by the way, is a perfect way of letting your children see for themselves exactly how much better French fries are than apple slices.
The really tragic thing is that instead of a toy, they put in a math problem.
Yeah, I know.
Sudoku.
McDonald's also said, this is good for them, that they're going to reformulate a lot of their food to make it healthier, which is nice. But on the other hand, you're still talking about food that can be, quote, reformulated. So the message is, if you'd like a nutritious, wholesome meal for your family, come to McDonald's and our industrial machinery will extrude it.
Just like Mom used to.
Oh, yeah, I remember Mom running the slurry press in our old kitchen.
Yeah, one of those old-fashioned hand extruders.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
The simpler time.
Yeah. I remember that.
Are they reducing in any way the amount of stuff in the Happy Meal that's
yes.
not good?
Yes. Presumably, instead of like a whole serving of French fries, you get a half serving of French fries and apples. That's the whole big deal.
So they sell two servings of French fries. What's going to happen?
Exactly.
Sell extra French fries and throw out the apples.
Yeah, basically, they're just outsourcing the throwing out of apples to the customer, I guess. Yeah. All right, here is your last quote.
Time to smash some skulls again.
That was not another member of Congress, actually. That this time was a man named Lance Ball. He celebrated a labor agreement that will let him go back to his job. What does Mr. Ball do for a living?
Is he a football player?
He is, in fact, a football player. He's in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for some labor agreement? The owners and players of the NFL arrived at an agreement ending their lockout, uncanceling the 2011 season. We were heading for a dark time because the NBA is in lockout right now, so without the NFL, we'd be facing a winter where the only sport our country would have would be hockey.
Mm.
We would be Canada, but crazy.
Can somebody lock out Congress?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're violating the labor agreement, keep them from working?
That's
yeah.
the part about this that's so stunning, is that this group of guys, most of whom faked going to college,
right.
many of whom have suffered catastrophic concussions over the course of their career, are more able to agree than the United States Congress.
That's true. Yeah.
Five years later, they won't remember their
game. I know. Carl, how did Jen do in our quiz?
Jen did very well, Peter. She had three correct answers, so Jen, you win our prize.
Oh,
well done. Congratulations, Jen. Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you. I'm happy to have the chance.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, after years of research, Chinese scientists say they are confident that what is impossible?
Time travel.
Yes, very good. Time travel is impossible. Bad news, nerds. Time travel, according to Chinese scientists, is and always will be impossible, which explains why your future self has never appeared to give you the secret of talking to girls. The discovery has to do with the fact that photons will never exceed the speed of light, and that prevents time travel because, you see, without hyper-light speed photons, the flux capacitor can never reverse the polarity of the wormhole. Meaning, no, you're never going to be able to kill Hitler, or more importantly, go back to fifth grade and kick Danny Minozzi's butt because now, finally, you're bigger than he is.
That would just be assault.
Yeah, I know. Like a grown-up shows up in 1974 and punches a kid.
And he's like, no, I'm from the future. Yeah. This is fine.
Yeah.
I've waited my whole life to do this. Yeah. They'd never believe you. Kiri, according to a new study, there's a new fashion trend among mothers. They're dressing like whom?
Is this someone slightly younger than they are?
Yes.
Their children?
Yes, their teenage daughters, in fact.
Oh,
a new study in the Journal of Consumer Behavior finds more and more mothers dressing like their teenage daughters in a misguided attempt to look and feel younger. The study has not yet determined which party this trend embarrasses more. One researcher said that moms mimic their daughters because it's, quote, like a shortcut to what is hip and cool, a comment met by all teenage girls slamming their doors in unison.
I do think there should be a store called Forever 41.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Carol. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Heidi Conrad from the St. Charles, Missouri.
St. Charles, Missouri. How are things in St. Charles?
Great.
What do you do there?
I work for a financial services technology firm.
Financial services technology firm?
Mm-hmm. So exciting, huh?
Yeah. You sound excited about it.
I wish. Yeah. I am.
Oh, yeah. They might be listening. Good, yes. Heidi, good to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Heidi's topic?
Why, when I was your age, I was opening beer bottles with my teeth.
I believe that children are the future. And if that's true, our future is going to be obese, lazy, and good for nothing but playing Angry Birds. But somebody is trying to do something about this. Our panelists are going to read you three stories of parents going the extra mile to toughen their kids up. Guess the real story, you'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to go?
Yep.
First, let's hear from Luke Burbank.
It's a tradition nearly as old as summer itself, the adorably adorable children's lemonade stand. With its charmingly substandard signage and promise of refreshment on a sweltering day. But what about the times that beverage isn't actually all that refreshing? Enter Rick Owens of Escondido, California, who's made it his mission this summer to visit every kid lemonade stand in the city and write reviews of them on Yelp. Lemonade? More like stagnant pond water mixed with battery acid. Owens wrote in one particularly biting review of a stand at 33rd and Ravenna manned by 2 6-year-olds. I sent the brownies back 2 times to no avail. Someone must have switched the recipe with the dirt patties they'd been previously working on in the backyard. Many local parents are upset by this, but Owens stands by his blunt writing. These kids are going to either learn now or later that you've got to stand behind your product. For its part, Yelp says it's powerless to stop Owens from dishing out his brand of tough love, recommending that those offended by the reviews take the ultimate Yelp-based revenge, clicking on that button that says, I did not find this review helpful.
A guy giving out Yelp reviews to lemonade stands in Escondido. Your next story of someone trying to toughen up their kids comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Olivia Dixon is pretty sure the boss is going to chew her out. She has 25 unfilled orders, 123 new emails in her inbox, an uneaten yogurt sweating on her desk, and she's late for a sales meeting. Olivia is 8. Welcome to Office Camp, a.k.a. Ant Farm, where New York kids learn the hard truths of what office life is really like. Just as Mommy does at the office, Olivia sits in on deadly conference calls, faces impossible deadlines on meaningless reports, fights over the good pens in the supply closet, and has to wear Spanx and 3-inch heels all day. Yesterday I got yelled at bad for falling asleep at a meeting, but it was so boring. Olivia told the Wall Street Journal, I cried in the restroom. Olivia's mother said she sent her daughter to drone training, When Olivia learned the term business major, I'm a project manager, and there's got to be more to life than that, she said. I want Olivia to be a filmmaker.
Office camp for kids. And your last story of a new way to make children stronger comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Rodham sheep boys and girls. The hot new sport for little kids out west, we learned this week, is rodeo with sheep, also known as mutton busting. Rural young'uns have always tried to ride bucking sheep, pretending they are bulls or broncos, but only lately have arenas, cheering crowds, and corporate marketing been involved. Now companies like Wool Riders Only are advancing mutton busting into the 21st century with codified rules, special gear, and interstate competition to the extent of a 16-stop tour featuring 125 staff sheep who ride in a custom double-deck trailer leading to a world finals in Fresno, California. So parents and other spectators can watch 3 to 7-year-old boys and girls cling to fleece for a few seconds before the muttons bust them.
Okay, Heidi, here are your choices. From Luke Burbank, a guy giving out somewhat brutal Yelp lemonade stand reviews. From Kerry O'Connor, office camp to show the kids what cube life is like. Or from Roy Blunt Jr., mutton busting, little kids riding sheep in rodeos. Which of these is the real story in the week's news?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh.
Is it too late to switch to the limerick?
No, sadly. That's tricky, too.
I think I will go with number 3.
You're going to go with the third choice, Roy's choice.
Yeah.
The audience approves.
Because it sounds the funniest.
Mutton busting. Well, we spoke to somebody who helps run this very program for kids.
The kids climb on the back of the sheep, and we open the gate, and they try to ride for 6 seconds.
That was Tommy Guidone. He's the owner of Wool Riders Only. It's a mutton-busting organization. Sheep riding for kids. Congratulations, Heidi. You got it right. Well done.
Yay!
Yay! You earned a point for Roy. And you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home voicemail. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we invite people on who've lived rich, full lives and make them do something that's rather poor and thin. It's called Not My Job. So it is tough to have a famous parent, really hard to go into the same business, and almost impossible to create a brilliant career in your own right, but that's what singer-songwriter Roseanne Cash, daughter of Johnny Cash, has done. We're betting a lot of her fans right now are like, wait, her dad was a singer too? Her memoir, Composed, is out in paperback now. Roseanne Cash, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Hi, Steve.
Great to have you.
Good.
So we did, you know, some research, because, you know, we do that. We do research. And we went to your website, and this is the entirety of your official bio. It says, Roseanne Cash keeps her head down and shows up for work.
Well, that pretty much says it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Why are you keeping your head down? Is there anything you don't want to see?
I keep my head down because, I mean, that was a reference to people always referring to my dad, and if you just keep showing up, you know. My dad told me one time somebody came up to him and said, are you Roseanne Cash's dad? So that's 1 to 8 million.
Yeah. Well, let's get right to it then. That must have been tough. I mean, tell us about your decision to go into music, because obviously your father, one of the seminal figures of American music ever. Did you feel like you had to deal with the expectations that you were, you know, Johnny Cash's daughter, that maybe you were just, you know?
Sure, and I probably pushed away a bit too hard, but, you know, not any more than any other young person in their 20s and their parent is successful and you want to do it on your own. You know, I think we all go through that to some extent.
Now, teenage girls in general are embarrassed by their parents.
Yeah.
You joined your dad's road show for 2 years when you graduated high school?
I did.
Was it hard to be embarrassed by your dad, even though he was literally the coolest man in the entire world?
I was never embarrassed by him. He did a duet with Bob Dylan when I was 14 years old. You can't get embarrassed after that. It's over.
Really? Well, was it weird touring around the country with your father?
No, he was really funny in that way. He liked getting to a new hotel and seeing if there was chocolate. He said he just loved to know what the amenities were in the next hotel. And he made it fun on the road. It was a great time.
That's a positive attitude.
It is a positive
I had no idea I had so much in common with Johnny Cash.
I can just see Johnny Cash coming in and checking out the shampoo.
Yeah.
Go ahead. That's a separate shampoo and conditioner.
He had a very childlike spirit in all things.
Well, there's a connection, of course, to your father in your latest album, The List,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty great. And this relates to a moment you had with your father, right?
Yeah, when I went on that tour you were just mentioning, he sat in the back of the tour bus and spent the afternoon making this list for me of what he called 100 essential country songs. And I had the good sense to hold on to that list. I didn't really think about it. I just kept moving it around wherever I went in a box of letters. And then, you know, when he passed away, I started thinking about it. In that same way, like your mother leaves you a recipe and you don't care about it until she's gone.
Yeah. Did you understand what he meant by this?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I wanted that information.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I knew he was giving me himself, not just the list, but saying, this is my deepest soul right here.
Right. And did your father ever work with you when you were starting to write songs? Did you ever, like, show him your songs and get his input? Because that would be totally intimidating to me.
Well, but it was just a in a parental way. He would say everything I did was great, like any good parent does. And it was terrible.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we supposed to do that? Hang
well,
on. I gotta make a phone call. So your book, you're out with a new book, a memoir called Compose.
Yes.
And now you're an author on tour promoting your book. How does that compare with being a musician on tour? How do authors trash their hotel rooms?
Well, the dressing rooms are a lot cleaner for authors.
Really?
Yeah. No sound check, no filthy dressing room, no cranky musicians, no feedback. It's kind of nice. It's a civilized world.
Really? But how are the groupies?
The same.
Really? Because I'm gonna. Do you have groupies? Because we've had female singer-songwriters in the show before, Nico Case, for example, and they have denied that successful, talented singer-songwriters like yourself have groupies.
Yeah, she's not telling the truth.
She's not? All right, set us straight right now. You've had the male equivalent of the sweet young thing waiting for you backstage?
Oh, sure. And also, I'm Nico's groupie, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, we all are in a way. But yeah. So seriously, the like guys out there batting their eyes and...
Well...
I don't know.
Do I need to tell you that, Peter? You know, take a leap.
I tell you what, I'll just make suggestions and you just giggle if it's true.
How about I nod?
Yeah, but if you nod, that'd be great. That's very good. So, Roseanne, I know you have kids of your own and that some of them are grown, and some of them at least have gone into music too, right?
One, my middle daughter is a musician, Chelsea Crowell. She just released her first record.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. Did she come to you and talk to you in the way that you went to your father?
No, she doesn't want to know anything. She's just like I was. The only thing she's ever asked me was a really technical thing about a tuning.
Really?
That's it.
Are you ever insulted? Are you like,
no,
oh, here.
Actually, no, you know, she did say, Mom, how can I become successful without getting famous? Which is exactly the question I asked.
Really? You asked your father, and what was the answer he gave you?
He said, I'm the wrong person to ask.
What did you say to your daughter?
I'm the wrong person
yeah.
to ask. You know, how can she be herself? She's got the weight of two generations in back of her.
That's true.
A songwriter. She's got to do it. I totally understand.
Did you make a list like your father did?
She asked for it. That's the one thing she did ask
for.
And
what'd you write
down? She said email doesn't count.
Oh. So you had to write it down.
I have to write it down.
And have you done it yet?
I've started it. I take that very seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion? And this
yes.
is totally for my own amusement. Put down our theme song. It'll like totally confuse her. Can you tell me what is on it?
I'm not going to tell you my list before I tell my own daughter. I mean, Peter, I really like you.
Anyway, no, we are delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here, Roseanne Cash, to play a game we're calling...
Man, you sing a lot better now than you did at that Padres game.
Carl is expressing surprise because obviously he's confused you with another Roseanne.
Oh, my God.
Roseanne Barr, of course. She famously butchered the national anthem at a Padres baseball game. So inspired by his mistake, we're going to ask you three questions about the other Roseanne, Roseanne Barr. Get two right, you'll win our prize for our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine or voicemail. Carl, who is Roseanne Cash playing for?
Roseanne is playing for Leslie Hornig of Chicago.
All right, ready to
May
play?
May I apologize to Leslie in advance?
That's a tactic often used around here to little avail. Here we go. First question, Roseanne's image was pretty much set when she divorced her husband to marry Tom Arnold, and at their wedding, Tom made what announcement to the media? Was it A, we're just hoping to live a quiet life and devote ourselves to good works? B, I think this marriage is going to last at least a couple of years? Or C, we're America's worst nightmare, white trash with money?
I think he said, we're your worst nightmare.
That's what he said. He said, we're America's worst nightmare, white trash with money. And lo, so it came to pass. Next question. Roseanne did divorce Mr. Arnold in a few years, as she did a number of husbands, but all is well now. In fact, one of her ex-husbands now does what for a living? A, he works along with his new wife as Roseanne's personal assistant. B, he's the manager of a pub called the Roseanne Bar. Or C, he is married in Las Vegas to a Roseanne Bar impersonator.
What? Even get that last one.
Well, he was so fond of his ex-wife, he decided to marry the next best thing, a professional Roseanne Barr impersonator.
That's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He has the Roseanne Barr?
I'm sorry, he has the... Is that your guess, that he owns the Roseanne Barr? No, yeah. I'm afraid not. He actually works with his wife as Roseanne's personal assistant.
Oh, I should have known that.
Why in the world should you have known that? You have lived your life in a far more useful and productive way than to know anything about that, I just want to say. All right, here's your last question. If you get this right, you still win. 11 years after her top-rated sitcom Roseanne went off the air, Roseanne Barr is making a triumphant return to television this summer in what vehicle? A, My Daughter Roseanne, in which she plays a 12-year-old with a rare disease that makes her look like she's 57 and Roseanne Barr. B, Roseanne's Nuts, a reality show about her macadamia nut farm in Hawaii. Or C, Roseanne's Idol, in which Roseanne teaches amateur singers her particular methods.
I know the answer to this because Sandra Bernhard is my very good friend.
Yes.
And she just did the macadamia nuts show.
Really?
That's my answer, yes.
Wow, so you're choosing based on actually knowing it's true. Which is a very rare tactic on this quiz, but you're choosing Roseanne's Nuts?
Yes.
Yes, you're right. It's on Lifetime. You can enjoy it. There it is.
Oh, my God, Peter, I was more nervous about this quiz than about opening at Lincoln Center, I swear.
Really? Carl, how did Roseanne Cash do in our quiz?
Roseanne Cash had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins for Leslie Hornig.
Yay!
Roseanne Cash is an award-winning singer-songwriter and the author of the memoir Composed. It's out in paperback this week. Roseanne Cash, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
And thank you for the great reference.
Now I've got heartaches that are numbered, troubles by the score.
Thank you so much. In just a minute, Carl relaxes by watching old episodes of Mad About You, starring Paul Reimser.
Ooh, God.
We're so beyond the bottom of the barrel now. We are. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, there's a new trend among kids attending camp this summer, according to the New York Times. Campers are doing what more than ever before?
They're declaring bankruptcy.
They're walking away from their cabins. Just mailing the keys back in.
The cabins are underwater. That's all the kids are taking adjustable rate mortgages on their cabins at summer camp. No, to make this more outdoorsy, though, some of the kids do ride on the wings.
They fly in.
They fly in, yes, but on private planes.
Private planes,
yes.
Oh.
The kids are taking private planes.
Oh.
You know, while getting kids to summer camp is a chore, all that driving and having to spend hours and hours ignoring your BlackBerry while your child natters on. But nowadays, if you're rich and terrible, there's a solution. Private plane traffic is way up as more and more kids are flying from the New York area to sleepaway camps up in New England on private planes. Sure, the kids are spoiled, but once they get there, they're just normal campers. There's nothing like sitting around the campfire watching your maid slowly roast a marshmallow for you.
S'more has really worked for those kids.
Yeah. And for many kids now don't actually do arts and crafts. They become patrons of arts and crafts. Oh, Bobby has a fine collection of lanyards. It's really exquisite. His taste, honestly. Luke, dust storms known as haboobs are wreaking havoc all over Arizona, and Arizonans are calling out for help. What is the big problem?
You mean in addition to the haboobs?
Well, the problem is specific with the haboobs.
They're sad their kids are learning about haboobs on the streets instead of in a church or a family meeting.
No, I will tell you, it's because they hate the name haboob.
Ah.
That's the problem.
That was kind of my... I inadvertently answered the question.
Haboob is an Arabic term for a desert thunderstorm, but the way Arizona is treating it, the word might as well be a Mexican.
Laughing at them,
yes.
Not with them.
Says one resident, quote, "I'm insulted that local TV news crews are saying haboob. How do our soldiers feel coming back and hearing some Middle Eastern term? Meteorologists are complying with Arizonans' concerns, and instead of haboobs, we'll be using the far more American term habazangas." Kiri, computers now act as our newspapers, our TVs, our social meeting place, and now, according to one alarming new study, computers have also replaced what in our lives?
Does this have anything to do with our love lives?
No.
No.
That happened.
Yeah.
That happened years ago.
But then, I'm going to need a hint.
Well,
what were you going to say if it did have to do with it? I don't need to know. I just
no. You really don't need to know.
You can see guys at Starbucks telling their laptop to stay and throwing it a treat.
They've become our pets?
They've become our dogs, specifically.
Our dogs?
Dogs. They've replaced our dogs because dogs...
No, dogs are our dogs.
No, not for you, maybe, but not for many. I mean, dogs are cute and loyal, but when's the last time they showed you porn? According to a...
Have you been to the dog park?
The dog park is quite a randy place.
According to a joint poll conducted by Britain's Computer Active magazine and their SPCA, 70% of adults said they rely more on their computers for companionship than their dogs. Hmm. The dogs are not giving up, though. A bunch of golden retrievers have worked out a way to bring their masters unwanted ads for herbal Viagra. Like, see, we can do it too. Luke, good news in Kabul. Just kidding. But there is news in Kabul. Pretty soon, Afghanistan will be getting its very own what?
What was the name of those storms in Arizona?
No. Haboobs.
Kabul will be getting its own... is this something American? Something that tends to be associated with the American...
It is now, but it was originally British.
Ah, okay.
British, then America, many other countries. Now it's finally coming to Afghanistan.
The television show The Office.
Yes, they're getting their own version of The Office. Coming soon to Afghan TV, The Ministry, that's the country's own version of The Office. The Office has been franchised all over the world. It's been a success in France, Japan, Canada, even Germany, where it's just raw security cam footage of an office. But What will the ministry be like? Well, it'll follow the office hijinks of Afghanistan's garbage ministry, and a lot of the classic gags we know from the shows we've seen will translate with a little, just a little Afghan tweak. Jim somehow seals Dwight's stapler in a bowl of Jell-O, then Dwight blows up Jim's desk.
And there Dwight Schrute is going to have an opium crop.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank. But first, it's a game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast from the producers of Wait Wait. This week, how to run far without getting tired. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Anthony Brindisi calling from Grand Island, New York.
Hey, where's Grand Island, New York?
It is right between Buffalo and Niagara Falls on the Niagara River.
Oh, there you are. You're out in the river there. It must be beautiful.
Yeah, you know, you go jump in the river about 2 hours, you go over the falls.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I'm thinking about trying it this weekend.
There you go. Well, welcome to the show, Anthony. Carl Castle right now is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to play?
Sounds good.
Here's your first limerick.
For Anheuser-Busch, it's a plug. Shellless mollusks consume with a glug. They think micro-brews are a bit of a snooze. No bud is the beer for a...
bug?
Close. More snail-like.
A slug.
Yes, a slug. Very good. Gardeners know slugs are attracted to beer, but only Catherine Olmsted, a writer and professor in Maine, bothered to ask which beer they prefer.
Ooh.
She gave her garden slugs a selection of domestic and foreign beers, and the slugs overwhelmingly chose Budweiser.
Uh-huh,
true fact. Except for one pretentious slug who's like, do you have any top fermented ales? And the other slugs threw him out of the frat. Whatever they drink, though, those slugs, the party is over as soon as they reach for the salted nuts.
Oh.
Here is your next limerick.
This pit stain stench makes my eyes blink, so I'm soaking this shirt in the sink. But some other clothes aren't offending my nose. See, they only get washed when they...
stink.
Yes, indeed. A new study showed this week that more than half of men use the sniff test to determine whether they should wear their clothing again, believing that large food stains, wrinkles, and the shame of being seen in the same shirt every day for 2 weeks are less reliable indicators. The system works okay, but can be confusing. It's not okay to wear a shirt even if the food stuck to it still tastes okay. I will say, and this may be more than you wanted to know, but I read this story and I was like, but wait a minute, how else do you find out if your clothes are clean enough to wear? Yeah.
If you've worn them.
That's crazy, though. It's perfectly good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even like to change clothes.
Very good. Here is your last limerick.
We fairies have learned a harsh truth. This economy bites, it's uncouth. Our funds are quite strapped, so if chipped, filled, or capped, we're giving less cash for each...
tooth.
Yes, tooth. Mm. A new survey has shown that in these hard economic times, kids are getting shortchanged by the tooth fairy. On average, kids get about $3 a tooth, but that amount has shrunk to $2.60 over the past year. Kids are complaining, but hey, the fairy's got to make some cuts where she can. If things get really bad, they'll put their tooth under the pillow at night, only to wake up and find a slightly nicer tooth. Carl, how did Anthony do in our quiz?
Anthony had a perfect game, Peter. Anthony, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail.
Well done. Congratulations. Thank you so much. Thanks for playing.
All right, thank you.
The Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Kerry O'Connor each has 3 points. Luke Burbank has 2.
All right. So, Luke, you're in third place. We'll begin with this question. Here we go. Memorial gatherings were held all week to honor victims of the attacks in blank.
Norway.
Yes. Standard and Poor's announced this week that it had downgraded the credit rating for blank.
The United States.
No, not yet. Greece, this week. Scotland Yard arrested a teenager Wednesday that they suspect is the spokesman for the Lulzsec group of blank.
Hackers.
Yes. Republicans blasted Senator John McCain after he compared Tea Party supporters to blanks.
Hobbits.
Yes. Passengers begged a bus driver in China to stop driving when he failed to notice that blank.
The back door was open.
No, the bus wheels had fallen off. While attempting to chase a burglar away from his hotel room, blank injured his Achilles tendon.
Alex Trebek.
Yes. Ooh. A Texas woman's plan to help her fiancé get over his fear of heights backfired when he blanked.
Fell off of the roller coaster they were being married on.
No, when he got stuck on a bungee ride. Ooh. Talia Rodriguez thought the Texas blast-off bungee ride at Zero Gravity Amusement Park in Dallas would be the perfect way for her fiancé, William Mancera, to overcome his fear of heights. But that was before the cords of the ride got tangled and the couple was left dangling 80 feet in the air for 3 hours.
Sadly, that was only a taste of the terror he would soon feel.
Carl, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Luke had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, and Luke has taken the lead.
Very good, Luke. We have flipped a coin. Kiri's elected to go next, so here you go. Fill in the blank. A private family funeral was held for singer blank on Tuesday.
Amy Winehouse.
Right. Officials arrested an AWOL soldier who was found with blank near Fort Hood.
Explosive material.
Yes. In the wake of his recent sex scandal, Oregon Congressman Blank announced he would resign.
Woo.
Yes, David Woo. Congressional switchboards were flooded with 35,000 calls an hour on Tuesday after Blank urged voters to contact their representatives.
President Obama.
Right. According to a new study released this week, 19% of smartphone owners will eventually blank.
will eventually get a new one.
Will eventually drop them into the toilet.
Oh!
7 wilderness survival students were injured when they were attacked by a blank in Alaska.
Bear.
Yes. After a blogger called attention to them last week, officials in China began shutting down fake blank stores.
Apple stores.
Right. The hot item at this year's Miami Fashion Week was an environmentally friendly blank.
A fur coat.
Compostable bikini. The bikinis are made from a fabric derived of plant starch, and they break down after 180 days underground. The designer swears the fabric holds up in water, can be worn over and over, but it is still embarrassing when you're on the beach with friends and you emerge from the water and someone says, nice melons, because seriously, your bikini is growing melons. Carl, how did Kiri do on our quiz?
Kiri had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points, and Kiri has taken the lead.
All right. So how many, then, does Roy need to win?
Roy needs 6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
Can you do this, Roy? Here we go.
Outright.
Outright. Fill in the blank, Roy. This is for the game. As a new law came into effect last Sunday, hundreds of same-sex couples began marrying in blank.
In New York.
Yes. Egyptian officials declared that former President Blank is fit to stand trial next week.
Mubarak.
Right. After losing $8.5 billion in 2010, officials released a list of 3,700 blanks that may be shut down.
Borders, I guess.
Post offices.
Oh, post offices.
A California motorcyclist who rear-ended a minivan and was thrown into the air was relieved when he blanked.
When he didn't come down.
He's still up there somewhere. No, when he landed uninjured in the van's back seat.
I'll be darned.
John Chiriokas, the man who came up with Charmin's toilet paper's famous slogan, blank, died at age 74.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
Exactly. At the World Championships in China, U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte beat superstar teammate Blank twice and broke the world record.
Michael Phelps.
Right. An angry mob protesting a bank by dumping trash in its lobby would have been more effective if they hadn't blanked.
if they had changed clothes and so that their clothes didn't smell like trash.
No, they would have been more effective if they hadn't dumped the trash at the wrong bank.
Oh, I was going to say that.
A group fed up with all the trash piling up outside a bank-owned home in their neighborhood decided the bank needed to feel their pain, so they gathered up the garbage. They dropped it in the lobby of the Wells Fargo Bank. Unfortunately for everybody, the home was owned by Bank of America, making this event the first time in human history that anyone has ever felt even a twinge of pity for a bank. Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
He needed at least 6 to tie, but Roy had just 4 correct answers. Oh. So with 15 points, Kerry O'Connor is the district champion.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict, now that they've added apples to their Happy Meals, what will the next thing McDonald's does to attract choosy moms? But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, providing car insurance shopping tools like real-time comparison quotes and coverage counselors. Learn more at eSurance.com. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at Hewlett.org, and Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at LumberLiquidators.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Belarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next thing McDonald's will do to attract those moms? Luke Burbank.
Starting with fewer TV commercials encouraging their kids to sit on the lap of a strange clown.
Kerry O'Connor.
White wine, free refills.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
The drive-by receiver where you call in your order, they won't take your order until you call your mother first.
Well, if McDonald's does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Luke Burbank, Kerry O'Connor, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks all of you for listening. And Peter Sagal, we'll see you right back here next week. This is NPR.